Rabbi Hashem Zoicha, after a long break, Yontif, to continue in Mishlei Perek Dalet. And the psukim that we are going to be learning go from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Pasuk Yud Tes. Let's just read through the psukim, and then we will launch immediately into the Gra. Hachzeik bamusa al teref nitzreho kihi chayecha. Hold on to Musar, don't let it go. Don't slouch, you know, al teref. Nitzreho, preserve it, kihi chayecha. A very interesting thing. Kihi chayecha. Kiheim chayenu v'orech yomeh. Ba'orech rishoyim al tovo, v'al ta'asher b'derech ro'im. So again, there's a parallel here. And you use here the word orech. In the second phrase, you use the word derech. In the first phrase is rishoyim. In the second phrase is ro'im. What does al ta'asher mean? So here there are a number of pirushim. If you'll take a look in the pirush of Rashi, ba'orach rishoyim al tovo ve'al ta'asher, Rashi says al ta'asher comes from the word to step, to trod, T-R-O-D. Al ta'asher ba'al tidroch, k'mo ba'ashuro echazer agri. Novon yovin la'ashuro. It means you should not step. So al ta'asher is like al tidroch. So if you look at the pasuk, and it's a parallel that's almost perfect. Baruch Hashem al tavo. So the word tavo and ta'asher both mean to move from one place to another. Mederech al ta'asher, Rashi says al tidroch. You'll soon see that the Goyin maybe has a different shot in the word al ta'asher. In the Malbim that you have on this page 8, the last page. So the Malbim says, what is va'al ta'asher? So he says al ta'asher comes from the word osher. You know, osher is with an aleph and osher is with an ayin. Many times when people write brachos, they write you should have osher v'osher. Osher with an ayin means riches. What's osher with an aleph? Hatzlocha, right. It's a positive word which covers a lot of ground. But al ta'asher means don't give them credibility. That's al ta'asher. Don't give them chashivus. Don't give them credibility. So Rashi has al tidroch, meaning with the feet. You shouldn't go in their path. And the Malbim says it means you should not give them credibility. We'll see what the Goyin says in a moment. Now the pasuk continues. Pira'ehu al ta'avor bo, stay me'olov va'avor. It's not an easy pasuk. Rashi says that pira'ehu means batlehu, from the Lashon bitul, like bitul chametz, bitul kol chamira v'chamira, a batel v'leve hefker, ka'afra da'ara. So pira'ehu is speaking about the orech of the rasha. Al ta'avor bo, don't cross that path. Stay me'olav, stay away from it, sur mimenu, va'avor means go beyond it. In other words, don't get involved in it. So this pasuk seems to be very, very repetitious. And the question is, what is the difference between pasuk tesvav and pasuk yudalit? It already says, ba'erach rishoyim al tavo. So pra'ehu al tavor, both stay me'olav va'avor. So we'll see what the Goyin says, because the Goyin is always medakte kechut asayra, the nuances and the subtleties of these different phrases, that you shouldn't, chas v'sholem, think that it's just stam repetitious. Pasuk tezayin. Ki lo yishnu im lo yoreyu, v'nigzo lo shenosam im lo yachshilu. The Vilna Goyin here has a very fascinating pshat. He says that people who like to make trouble spend a lot of their time, instead of sleeping at night, scheming or making trouble at night, because that's when other people are asleep and they're more vulnerable. So it says ki lo yishnu, they won't sleep in the regular time, im lo yareyu, because they're planning to do wrong, v'nigzalo shenosam im lo yachshilu, because their sleep, they hold their sleep is worthless They would rather lose their sleep than and make trouble than to sleep like a normal person. They eat the bread of evil and they eat the yayin of chamosim. What's chamos? Robbery. Thievery. So they drink the yayin of thievery. The Goyin is going to suggest that lechem and yayin here are references to what he calls in many places in Mishlei, we've already had it a number of times, the koyach ha-ta'avoni and the koyach ha-ka'asoni. The koyach ha-ta'avoni is nimshal to lechem, he says, because kiyam alech hashehu ochel is a reference to a woman. And yein chamosim, he says that's the yayin of gezel. Yayin is symbolic of the koyach ha-ka'asoni. And he writes ki yodua. We'll have to explain what is yodua about it. The light of the tzaddik keeps growing and growing until it becomes full. Just like in the dawn, there's a little bit of light, and then there's more and more and more until finally it bursts forth. So the same thing, the way of the tzaddik is a path that leads you constantly growing, constantly steiging, until ad nechon hayom, until the light is ample. Derech reshoyim ka afela lo yodu b'mei kashelu. It's like a darkness that they themselves don't realize how deep the pit is into which they are falling. So again, these are psukim that on the surface appear to be general and inspiring in the most generic sort of way. You should be good and you shouldn't be bad. How did the Zayde Zichrono Livracha say? I mentioned it maybe in the past. He said that the whole of Yiddishkeit could be expressed in two Polish expressions, two Polish phrases. Bonch mądre and nie bonch głupi. What's bonch mądre? Bonch mądre means be smart. That's the mitzvah saseh, he said. And what's nibonch b'rubi, obviously? Don't be stupid. That's all the mitzvahs loisah say. So you can reduce the whole Sefer Mishlei if you want to those phrases. Bonch mandra and nibonch b'rubi. But, you know, the Hasidim, they used to go into the inns and hear the Polish peasants talk, and they would make from that a ganze Torah. Torah Hashem t'nima. But this is much more than meets the eye, as we shall see in the Gra, and there are really some extremely profound ra'ayonis, concepts here. And the very, very beginning, ha'chazek ba'musar al teref nitzreo kihi chayecha, zok de goyim. Chazek ba'musar, echoiz es ha'musar shehischalta boi, ve'utechazek es atzmoi. Al teref afilu lefisho al teref es atzmocho min amusar. Nitzreha kloima ela adaraba toisif tomid gedorim u mitzvahis al amusar shlo yovoi lidei rifyon. And then he writes the following. And this, for this line, it's kedai all the shiurim that we've had in Mishlei. What does he say? Kihi chayecha. What does it mean, kihi chayecha? So the Pashup Shat we would say is because the Torah is our life. Kiheim chayenu v'aruch yameinu, as I said before. But I think the Goyin was concerned that kihi chayecha is going on Musar. And he learns Musar in terms of what we call Musar. In other words, the teachings that inspire us to keep the Torah. So he asks, that's chayecha. What does it mean, kihi chayecha? Zok te Goyin amuyri dikizach. He says the whole point of life, the whole tachlis of living, is to be more than you were yesterday, to break the midah that you couldn't break yesterday. He's learning hachzik b'musar al teref and nitzreo ki ichayecha. He says, no matter how far you've gone, and no matter what you've arrived to, no matter where you are in Avodas Hashem, Madrega ifta Madrega, there's still another Madrega to go. And if you don't follow and pursue that Madrega, then you are missing out on life itself. Because the tachlis of life is to be more than you were yesterday. Normally, one would you know, people consider the Jewish nation to be very neurotic. This is a davar yadua. The goyim perceive us as being very neurotic. That is absolutely correct. And the reason that we are neurotic is because it's never good enough. And that's the pshat of neurotic, basically. It's never good enough. I always see a pagam. I always see a chesar. I'd like to add something that they don't understand. That kind of neurosis is a chelek of a simchas hachayim. Because if a person feels that the jig is up and he's reached the end of his moral rope, then the rest of life is empty. The struggle to be more than you are and better than you are, and that sense that it's possible to be better, is ultimately a tremendous source of simchas hachayim. And that is, of course, why it's vegilu bira'ada. I'd like to suggest something. Most interpretations of the words vegilu bira'ada, right? Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, the pasuk says, vegilu bira'ada. So Poshut Pshat is that you should never allow the gilu to be so extreme that you've lost yourself in your enthusiasm and your excess. Don't start becoming a manuvel in your simcha. Eat, drink, and be merry is not the derech of Avodas Hashem. What is the derech of Avodas Hashem? Gilu, you should be excited, you should be in an ecstasy, but it has to be mitigated by ra'ada. But that's what I would like to suggest, a completely different pshat. Gilu bira'ada means the rejoicing comes from the ra'ada. The rejoicing comes from the ra'ada. It's very poshut. As I mentioned 1,000 times already, everybody has an understanding that we are obligated to be more than the behemoth. The person who does not believe in Hashem, Rachmana Litzlan, still feels that the humanity in him compels him to be more than the behemoth. So how does he go about doing this? So for example, the Koach HaTaiva. So you have a Taiva for Achila. People have a Taiva for Achila. So you have a concept called a fancy restaurant with a very beautiful menu and all sorts of interesting dishes and an ambiance, an environment which is kulo omer kavod. And what is the point of all of this? To eat. So what is the difference between that and someone going into a grocery store, grabbing the nearest banana off the shelf and peeling it and eating it on the spot? The teretz is because that's much more of a maisa behema than the restaurant. And the more sophisticated the restaurant, the more exclusive the restaurant, the greater the ambience, the larger the orchestra, etc., etc., that makes the Maisa Achila more sophisticated and infinitely more human. And that is exactly where they stop. Where does the Jew go with this? He says it's not enough to transcend the Bahami. You have to transcend the human. Because the tachlis of the human being is Avodas Hashem. So your achila has to become a shulchan that isn't a fancy, beautiful tablecloth or extraordinarily exquisite crystal glasses, but rather the shulchan is a mizbeach, and therefore there has to be divrei Torah on the shulchan, because otherwise it's called shulchanam malukit soa, b'li makom. And v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. The Kedusha of Achila is so essential to our Avodas Hashem that the holiest day, which is Shabbos, even more chomer in the Isser Malacha than Yom Kippur, as you know, this is Beskila. That idea of Shabbos being the Karasal of Shabbos Oineg is exactly what I'm talking about. You take a day and you fill it with Achila and Shesia. Sholosh Su'udais. The Rambam says that every one of the three Su'udais has to have Lecha Mishnah and Yayin. Because the idea is that the Su'udah has to be elevated to be Choshuv. But in what context? dafka in the context of Shabbos. Yom Tov, v'samachta b'chagecha, ein simcha ela b'vasa v'yayin. So again, you have that same concept. I always say about the Shalom Zachar, what is the idea of a Shalom Zachar? That after a person eats his fill, he goes and eats some more. That's what a Shalom Zachar is. From time to time, you hear somebody say a Dvar Torah. Usually you get the latest news of what's going on in the neighborhood. I mean, but what is a Shalom Zachar? Vas fa'azin hatas? What exactly is it? You know what the answer is? The answer is you take eat some more because it's Shabbos. So what is the point? And by the way, the arbis and the beer was because it was the least expensive foods in Europe, and that's, they didn't want to be excessive. They didn't want it to become expensive. So today, Baruch Hashem, we have the arbis and the beer, and then, you know, those little cookies that cost $5 a piece. That you know. Well, that's good. Baruch Hashem. Nothing can stop progress. I just want to tell you, there's a meiridika yisayid in that. I always felt that this is the emes of pshat in Shalom Zachar. The neshama has a meiridika taina, a tremendous complaint against everybody. What did you bring me down to earth for? Sidot megevena zei varim and fine and shame. What do you want from me? So we tell him, take a look. What do we do on the holiest day of the year? What do we do on a day that elevates us and makes us transcended from the Olam Hazeh? It's a Yom Shekuloi Shabbos. That's what we're aiming for. So the Rebbe Shlom says, Matona Achas Yeshli Beveiz Genozai B'Shabbos Shmo. So some of the Mefarshim explain, the Malbim and others, that Shabbos is the Yom Shekuloi Shabbos. That's why he has it Beveiz Genozai. And he gives us Shabbos as a remez to it. So how do we celebrate that remez of the Yom Shekuloi Shabbos? Think about it for a minute. The Gemara says, Mitzvah bo yosem ibishluchai. So what did these tremendous people do? The Balei HaMasorah who've given us everything in Ruchnius, they prepared the fish. What? The Teretz is Kavod Shabbos. But Kavod Shabbos, prepare the fish, Kavod Shabbos. Sit and learn another Perek in Zohar. The Teretz is, Shabbos is the gashmius of the world for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's basically an extraordinary idea, because we would say fasting is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Denying our gashmius is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yiddishkeit always says the exact opposite. Every opportunity that we could merge the simcha of achilav shesiyah, hakol moedim ba'atzeres de be'ina nami lochem, hakol moedim b'shabbos, the Gemara in Psochem, hakol moedim b'shabbos de be'ina nami lochem. What is the pasuk in Shabbos? The karasala Shabbos einik. Hakol moedim b'purim de be'ina nami lochem, yemei mishteh v'simcha ksiv. All of this indicates, and especially on Shabbos, that the derech of the neshama coming down to earth is unique and cannot be achieved in any other way. So we go ahead and we make an achila u'shesia all over again to indicate that Shabbos lives and breathes through that achila u'shesia bedafka, and it explains to the neshama why it wasn't enough to stay tachas kisei hakavod. It has to be here, and through the avodah hagashmis you reach those levels. So v'gilu bira'odah, this whole idea of v'gilu bira'odah, is not enough to create the human advance beyond the behema. It's the advance beyond the human towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we take our table and we convert it. It's not enough ambiance. It's not enough sophistication. It's not enough that it's with all kinds of rules and regulations, which, by the way, Yiddishkeit supports. Yiddishkeit supports. There's an etiquette of the table. Look in the Shulchan Aruch. There are all kinds of halachas. They're not spiritual halachas. They're not Kabbalistic and yoni. They are aleph beis of how a person should behave, that he's not a behemah at the table. And it's dafka in these kind of inyonim, which are inherently bahami, that we are concerned not to be Bami, but that's not where we stop. Because we have to transcend even the being human, Shabbai. Because actually, from their perspective, the human is a sophisticated animal. And that's all our tzaras today come from. That people think in those terms, at kedekach, you have this thing with the bris milah now in California, v'chulu v'chulu. So nishkenayizach. In the time of the Romans, it was already like that. Anybody that stops with the human being as the apex of everything in the creation, and that's where he stops, and he doesn't acknowledge anything beyond that, is always going to look for etzes of how to see the human being as the greatest of all animals. And what we say is that he's not an animal at all, be'etzim. He's just murkav of the chomer that's animalistic. But the neshama that he has, the chelik alakam imal, allows him to go beyond the human animal to the human malach. And that human malach requires a different kind of table. Never mind all the sophistication in the world will not allow you to transcend it. You have to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that secret of Yiddishkeit is that it always is the source of ultimate joy. Everybody's chasing after hana because it gives them pleasure. And the Yiddishkeit says that there's something besides pleasure. And that's transcendent. And when you have it, you have everything. That's the gilu. You should rejoice from the ra'ada. So the Goyin says that the tachlis, the whole secret of life, avada the tachlis to mitzvahs and mice and toivim. That's the tachlis. But he says that if a person doesn't steig, then what is life for? What is life for? He says, nachamo.
What's the lashon lishbor?
Lishbor.
Yeah.
To break his midos.
Break his midos.
Yeah, the negative midos.
More than he broke them before.
Right, exactly. You have in this site. This is what the Goyin is saying. I have in this site. I go out into the street and I can't control myself. Today, I walk out into the street and there's nisyonos. And for 15 minutes, I controlled myself and I was misgaber on that yeser. And I managed. So what about the tomorrow? So he says, tomorrow the agenda is 20 minutes. That's what he's saying. And if a person, woe unto the person, let me put it a little bit differently. Woe unto the person that said, I've gone as far as I can go. More HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't expect of me. More importantly, there's no more that I could expect from myself. Again, he says it. Ki ma she'odom chai hu, the purpose of his being alive. Kedei lishbar ma she'loi shavar ad heino oso hamida. He means negative midos, of course. You don't break good midos. He's talking about the negative midos. So he says that that's the pshat of hachzik b'musar al teref. Because it's only through Musa that he's going to be able to do this. There has to be a... According to the Gra, it's very simple. There's Torah that you learn. Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra. But there is, in the agenda of the Jew, a responsibility that he has to steig in terms of who he is. And he has to translate that in a very precise way that isn't necessarily going to come from just learning Baba Kama. That's the point. If you'll ask me, where does the Goyin stand in Musar as an agenda on its own right? So I feel very confident in saying that if the Gra is to be reflected by what he writes in Mishlei and what he taught in Mishlei, there's no shaila that he was very much in the camp of the Baalei Musar, that with the agenda of Torah intact, because kihem chayenu v'arach yameinu, there still needs to be a specific agenda, a precise agenda, which we call Musar, whose purpose and tachlis is to change and transform the person ever upwards.
So there's no such thing as a natural tzaddik who is, his defect is he does not have bad midos. He's naturally a giver, he's a baal chesed.
Let me tell you something.
He's born a tzaddik.
You have people who have madregas in these inyonim that are far beyond the madregas of a person that seems to be constantly struggling with his yetzer hara. But ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher. There's no such thing, except maybe one in a billion, that has simply was born without any of these koichos hanefesh. for the simple reason that the koyach ha-tavoni and koyach ha-kasoni is fundamental to the existence of the world. And that's what we spoke about many, many, many times. And that's the pshat of hakina ha-taiva ha-kovid matzina sa'odam in ha-olam. And as some svarim write, v'gam hei machnisim es ha-odam l'toich ha-olam. You have no choice. No one ever suggested that the person should destroy himself in the process. It's the channeling, it's the modifying, it's the translation in the mathematical sense, in the sense of, you know, that you move the whole pivot around. So what was yesterday over here, everything in proportion is now over here. You don't get rid of these koichos hanefesh. If you get rid of these koichos hanefesh, there's no desires, there's no desire to learn, there's no desire for everything, as I told you. The pasuk before Pesach Es Yadecha, what does it say? What's missing in that pasuk that you need the letter pen? It says it all. Everyone is looking to you to help them. And you, Hashem, give them what they need. So what's Pesach Es Yadecha Masbiel L'chol Chai? It's a redundant. The Teretz is that the last word makes the Pesach Es Yadecha a different pasuk entirely. Ratzayin. What Hashem gives you is Ratzayin. The problem that we don't fully appreciate it is because we don't see what happens when there is no Ratzayin. You have a person in a depression, in a clinical depression. You see a person that simply cannot get out of himself to begin to have Ratzayin. You have somebody with anorexia. It's the biggest tragedy. That which other people are struggling not to eat another potato, another piece of kugel. And this person looks at the table and it's his enemy. That's masbiya l'chol chai rotzai. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, kol eichol tesaiv nafshay, if his nefesh has contempt for food, what does it prove? Vayagiyu atshari mavis. He's basically dead. You know people who die, before they die, they lose their appetite. It's an amazing thing. And there's no zest for life. The Zaydah, the Chayin al-Vachiyu, it's amazing how many Maisalach I have from him. He used to say that there was a Yid that was Mamish Agoisis, and every 15 minutes, he would call his Einikol to bring over his money purse. His purse, his pouch, where he kept his coins. No, Fashtetzach, they thought that he lost his mind already, and he doesn't, because he's not doing anything. He's not giving it out. He's not saying, give it to Tzedakah. He takes the coins out, puts them back in the purse, and gives it back. 15 minutes later, Nachama. Finally, he says, you want to know what I'm doing this for? He says, because I want to see if I'm still alive. If I have a taiva for these coins, that's a simon that I'm still alive. He wants to know if he's still alive. This is the nature and fundamental yesod of the human being. The Musa concept here of the Gra is that the agenda of the person has to be specifically and precisely to achieve those madregas of Shviras HaYetzer. And that it's never enough is not a neurosis in the negative sense. Because the concept of steiging is what keeps us going. Basically, it's no different than the chazal of Ein Lecha Ben Chayrin Ela Misha Isik Batayra. Most people, you know, there's a binding, there's an Akedas Yitzcha quality that we have, that we don't fully appreciate, that sets you free. Yitzchak was set free by the Akedah. Even the image of Parcha Nishmaso, you know, you think it's like it was too much, or he was Geshochten. There's a setting free. The Neshama becomes suddenly like a bird that was let out of the cage. Now the trick is not to go so far as to lose your humanity. So there's a constant struggle to be more than you are within who you are, not beyond who you are. Anytime somebody wants to go beyond who he is, he always crashes. It's always a disaster. I remember there was once a fellow who Nebuch was nifter under peculiar circumstances, and somebody asked, he was so immersed in learning and he was such a tzaddik and everything was so wonderful. What happened? Had a nervous breakdown, and from there it was downhill until he was nifter. He was nifter at a very young age, in his early 20s. So somebody was masbir the following. He had a mashgiach, And the Mashgiach told him, "Dos daf menisht. You don't need this. You can manage without this." And then he told him about something else. "You can manage without this. You have to use your imagination to fully understand what I'm saying." I'm not talking about that he could manage without a carpet. He could have a bare floor. You know, in life, there are all kinds of trappings. And he was kind of like, all those things, medafes nisht. So he said like this, an unbelievable yesod. He said, this fellow was a meir dikabal kishrin, he was a genius. He came to the conclusion, as dostaf menachet nisht. There was no anchor at all. You have to be anchored. You have to be anchored in reality. You have to be anchored in olam hazeh. And that's really one of the secrets of Yiddishkeit, that they never let you drift. You know, it's a balloon that you hold on to. There could be as much helium in the balloon as you want, but you have to hold on to the string. You let the string go, it's over. Then the amount of helium in the balloon is not l'tayvoscha, it's l'ra'oscha. It's gone. It disappears into the stratosphere. It ends up in some other medina. The whole of Yiddishkeit is to secure the anchor that allows you to keep steiging within who you are. That's why, by the way, anyone who has hasagas, I told this maisa to you, Mistama, in the past. Rav Pam, Zichron Levracha, used to tell over a story that there was a bachur that was learning very stark, and all of a sudden he sees that he's not the person he was yesterday. He walks around in a fog, and he's upset with himself, and he sees clearly that he's very disturbed. Finally he goes over to him. This Mistama was when Rav Pam was still teaching in high school in Tarvadas. Goes over and he says, what's going on? So he says, well, I'll tell you what it is. He just read a biography of the Chofetz Chaim. And he sees the Chofetz Chaim at his age, at 17, he was already mamish on Malach Hashem Tzokos, and he got very depressed. So Rav Pam, in the tape that I heard, he says, I yelled at him. And I said to him, you want to be like the Chofetz Chaim? There was only one Chofetz Chaim. You have to be who you are, the best of what you can be, of who you are. That is the problem of many people that have very, very warped notions of what they're capable of, which in effect is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of you? The Goyim never said that you have to become a Vilna Goyim. And by the way, a Mevilna will not make you a Vilna Goyim. It's crystal clear to me that a person could fill no with the most iron commitment and the greatest amount of assiduous, intense hasmada. It's that them gar nicht helfen. There's one Goyim, and everybody says, a Goyim achosid Mevilna, and that's it. And the same is true of Reb Kiva Eger, v'chulei, v'chulei. A person is born with koichos and capacities which he cannot do anything but develop, enhance. You can waste your time or you can use your time properly. You can have good rebbeim, you can have good chavrusas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you tremendous yata d'shmaya. And you could reach heights that you could not even imagine what you're capable of. But it's your capacity. It's like, you know, who you are. The famous Maisa with the Baal Musa, who asks Rabbi Yisrael Slant, if only I had this kishrin from this one and that koyach from that one. He says, no, with your koyachus and your kishrinus. What the Goyen is talking about over here is crystal clear. That's within himself according to his capacity. Let's go weiter now.
I would popularize the biographies of Tzadikim.
Well, I'll tell you. The Inyan is, this is really a tangential discussion, but I'll just say it very briefly. The major Inyan is that we have, I mean, at least that's what I see is the major Inyan. We have two kinds of biographies. One has like 100 Svarim on the shelf, and the other one has a handful. The first kind of biography is the biography of Gedolei Yisrael, of Tzadikim Yiduim. The second one is like All for the Boss. It's a biography of an extraordinary Jew, but not Reb Kiva Eger. There are two different advantages from these. The advantage of the first group is to know that your leaders are answerable to godless in all respects, because that's what Yiddishkeit demands. There's no such thing as a maneuverable player, which I talk about all the time. There's no such thing as a person because of one quality or other that has this kishron or this ability to write or this ability to teach, that somehow satisfies our respect for that person, and then he is exempt from all other considerations. More than that, our gedolim are expected to be consistent within their greatness to the levels of Avodas Hashem, of Yirat Shamayim, of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And that's what these biographies are meant to achieve when they are successful. One of the great weaknesses of such biographies is that the biographer doesn't have the slightest idea, kemat all the time, I would say, of the madregas of the person that he's writing the biography about, by definition. Now go figure out. You know, I always tell you the Maisa with the Rebbe Rabunim, it's exactly that. That's in a biography. Because the Rebbe Rabunim was overhearing somebody say what was in the mind of Avram Avinu by the Akeda. And he told this chassid, who was very physically small, he should take off his kapot. He called over his biggest chassid, who was huge, and he told him to take off his kapot. And then he instructed the little chassid, who was talking about the mind of Avram Avinu, to put on that kapota that the huge chassid took off. And of course he looked like a caricature and everybody started to laugh. He says, it's much more absurd for you to talk about Avram Avinu's mind than to wear his kapota. What he was trying to say is obvious. You cannot fathom something that's far beyond your capacity. I mean, go figure out what hasmada means. So you're going to tell stories, and that's what they are. But the hasmada of the Vilna Gaon, so what happens? Somebody gets up and he says, the Vilna Gaon, well, I mean, there was not even an opportunity to have a hirur aveira. Man learns 24 hours a day in a room that's shuttered from the rest of the world. He himself admits, "Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov, ich bin nicht kein Kunstmacher, I'm not going out into the world." Everything that he does is kuloi kodesh. Everything is provided for him. He's in that same room and he stays in that same place and he has his talmidim and he has his tzvarim. Where does the Yetzer Hara have an opportunity even to enter? There are no portholes in that ship. So comes along the Gaon and he says, if anyone knew the kaychus of my Yetzer Hara and the constant struggle that I have with him, they would go out of their minds. I mean, that's not exactly a quotation, but that's the point. So could a biographer fathom such a thing if he didn't say it beferish and it wasn't recorded? So you see that all of this and the cloud. Does a person understand what somebody sees? When the Goyim says that a malach, a magid came to him and offered him that I'll explain all of this to you gratis. And he says, no, I don't want that. I want to struggle and discover it for myself. If people have you read this, it's a very nice story. It's like a story that somebody's Machayim Esim. It's a nice story, but does it resonate with us? Do we have a capacity to comprehend that there's such a human being, or that such a human being is possible? We really don't. So there's a tremendous amount that's missing. And mainly, you never see any of the struggles, you never see any of the negatives, you never see any of the things that make the person real and make him really transcendent. So that's a very big chesaron. But if you ask me, what's the tachlis of such biographies? That's the tachlis. Now, you have a different kind of biography, which basically tells the person, listen, he did it. You can do it too. That's a different kind of biography. I find that kind of biography also to be lacking. You know, in Yiddishkeit, we do not expose dirty laundry. There's a phrase for that. Lashon hara, rechilus. You can't do that. Memela. Everything has to be good. Everything has to be nice. When everything is good and nice, how much could you really learn from it? You don't see the struggle that the Vilna Gaon is talking about in this line. Do you ever read a biography where it writes that yesterday he had this Yetzer Hara, but he broke it and smashed it, and the next day it was better? You don't have biographies like that. That's the problem with biographies. Biographies are very, very, they're very limited. Even the stories of Chazal, you know, You could write entire volumes to explain three lines of a story in the Gemara. And they deliberately keep it as vague as possible, so to speak. Chazal emulated Tanakh in that way. We're not given a full-blown picture of anything, really. Everything starts and stops, and there's a vignette, and it's a question of how we can steig from that. But there isn't a real biography, because it's mamish not shaykh. The person standing from the outside, how could he ever fathom who that person is if he's truly great, and who, what kind of nisyonos and issues he has? They don't report it correctly, they're not living in that time anymore, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. So biographies are taken not so pashut. You know, very few biographies in the past of Gedolim. Very few. You know, there was a sefer that was written about, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, Svarim, that we were very, very few, very few. Today, you know, that's the way it is. Svarim written about the Vilna Gaon, every Muntik and Dunashtik, somebody puts out something, and then somebody puts out something else and says, no, he's got it all wrong. And v'chulu, v'chulu. Anyhow, but let's leave that alone. Let's go vaytuk. Ba'ayrach rishoyim al tovoy ki rishoyim heim bein odom lamokoyim v'royim heim bein odom labriyes. So here, the Vilna Gaon, classic, he says, you see rishoyim and you see royim, don't think that it's one and the same. Rishoyim, page 1. Rishoyim is bein adam lamakom. Royim is bein adam labrios. V'amru chazal, ruban begezel, umiyutan ba'arayos. Hein, harei haroyim, hein merubim min harishoyim. V'chein omar, etzel harishoyim, oirach. Aval Eitzel Haroyim Derech K'mashika Sabnu Lamalo. What the Vilna Gaon does here is say that just as we have a difference between Rishoyim and Royim, so too is justified the difference between Oirach versus Derech, although both of them mean ways. But there's highways and there are byways. So which is which? So the Royim are Merubim Min HaRishoyim. We'll talk about that in a moment. So therefore, what does it say by Rishoyim? Oirach. And what does it say by, right? Oirach Rishoyim, says the Pasuk, Yudalit. But Oirach Rishoyim al Tavoy. Va'al ta'asha b'derech Royim. Derech is a highway. Oirach is an alley, a byway, a path. There are fewer on it, so it's smaller. It's described as being narrower. What does it mean that Royim are Merubim in Arishoyim? So he quotes a Gemara in Baba Basra, Dav Kuf Samachayom at Aleph, which many of you have seen. Look at the footnote. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Roiv Begezel. Many Sfarim write Rubam Begezel. The Lashon that we have in the Girsa is Roiv Begezel, but there are other Sfarim that write Rubam, such as in the Mesilas Yesharim that you have a little bit later. Roiv begezel umiyut ba'arayis v'hakol b'loshen hara. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Every single person is compelled to speak loshen hara mamish? So the Gemara says, b'loshen hara sakadaitach, ela avak loshen hara. So it's not loshen hara mamish, it's, for example, somebody gives excessive compliments. And in reaction to those compliments, he leads people to condemn the person and bring out all kinds of nasty remarks. Oh, he's not really that great. He just looks like he's a Talmud Chacham, but he really doesn't know anything. Ask him a question in Yerushalmi. Ask him a question in Zrayim. You see, he doesn't know. So don't make from him such a rash kebahad. What are you calling him? Agoyin agodol hatzadik or adik? And he's not such a tzadik either. Believe me, he just puts on a nice show. So that's mamish lashon hara. But where did that lashon hara come from? What motivated that reaction? That kind of remark. There's a famous maisa that's brought down in the Sfarim. I think it's brought down by the Torah Tmima in his Makar Baruch. But anyhow, there's a maisa that the Beis Halevi was once stuck on the train. The train stopped or whatever. They had to stay overnight in the train station. So all the people of the train got out and they went into the train station. There were a lot of people congregated together. And one of the people whom the Beis HaLevi had not seen for a long time was introduced to someone that the Beis HaLevi was talking to as, you know, this is Chazan so-and-so. He's a big tzaddik, or he's a big Talmud Chacham. So the Chazan comes over to him later privately and he says, I have a taina to you. He says, really? Why? So he says, because when you speak about a Chazan and you don't say one word about his voice, that's a simon, he's a knapa Chazan. The Chazan's a Talmud Chacham. So the Beis HaLevi said, now I understand a nuance, a pshat in the words, that you should not be marbe b'shvachayshel adam shem mitoch kach boli de genuso. If you speak positive, mot poshe pshat is that you'll talk and talk and talk, and after you exhaust all the good things about him, you'll start talking more about him and you'll say negative things. So don't talk so much. He says, no. He says, sometimes from the good itself, the good becomes bad. Because here I am trying to show how he's... I took for granted that he's a chazan, and I'm trying to show that this chazan happens to be a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham. And he came back and he says, no, if you don't talk about the chazanos, then the fact that you're saying he's a Talmud Chacham turns out to be a negative. So that's avak lashon hara type of things. So if you have kulam b'avak lashon hara, Rubam begezel, miyutam barayis. So he says, if you're talking about gezel, it's bein adam lechaver. If you're talking about arayis, a lot of arayis have bein adam lechaver aspects, but the etzem concept of arayis is bein adam lamoko, the biel sasuros. So the Gaon says that since it's rubam begezel, correct? So what kind of path does he have to have? A big highway. So what's that called? That's called derech. And that's roim, bein odom lechaveiro. The miut, right, is ba'arayis. That requires a smaller path for those rishoyim. And those are called rishoyim. And that is enough that it is orach, a smaller path. You don't need the derech. So the Vilna Gaon Bekitzer, what did he do here? He used these words in a precise way to show what? That we're talking about two different kinds of evil people. People who are evil bein adam lamakom, people who are evil bein adam lachaveiro. So what does he say about it? So he says, V'od ma shebein adam lamakom hu bahaster, v'chein omar orach, v'chein al tovo bahem, avol derech haroyim shuhu begolui, shehein ra labriyos, Ein tzarich loymer al tovoy kipshitahu ach al ta'asher b'derech ra'im. Now the person who put this out writes, v'chimedume sheshamati mimenu, I believe that I also heard from the Vilna Gaon, shehu miloshon ki ishruni bonos, ba'ashri ki ishruni bonos, she said, right? What does ishruni bonos mean? V'hainu al tamlitz utadaber tov alehem va'al darkam. So he learns, remember we had different pshatim and what the word aleph shin resh is here over here. We had Rashi that it says don't step and don't trod on that path, and the malbim that it comes from the word osher. Here it means to corroborate. Kamu bonea vaya ashruha. Hinini ba, many people write, I want a hamlotza. They write a letter of recommendation. Hine ibola asher. I come to confirm, to corroborate that so and so is true. That he's wonderful, he's terrific, he's a good man for the job. So, kimeduma sheshamati mimenu shemiloshin ki ishruni bonos. Vahainu, al tamlitz the tadaber tov aleim valdagum. Don't find that excuses and justifications for their issues. Don't look, you know, by the way. There are many ways you can do that, but the modern way of doing it is, he had a bad upbringing, and he was abused by his father when he was 4 years old. And that's already a teretz for everything. So that kind of ishruni, I think that's what he was talking about. Don't look to justify it. Or if you have a Robin Hood, he takes from the rich and he gives to the poor. A goslin is a goslin. You're not allowed to steal. And so on and so forth. You should not corroborate them. Another way of corroborating is they're all a bunch of ganovim anyhow. It's good that he stole from the bank because the bank is the biggest thief. This is Meisim B'chol Yoy. And the same thing with stealing from the government or not paying taxes and so on and so forth. That's la'asher. You don't corroborate them. So let's take a look for a moment. He says that gilui, golui is because it's ra labrios. He's saying like this, if you're a thief, there's going to be somebody that's robbed, that's mugged. So he sees that you're mugging him. But against Hashem, you could think that you're doing something that no one will ever know. Of course, the idea that Hashem is always watching should make that difference go away. But that's the whole point. So Rubam Begezel, not only is it a wider path, but it's also Begoli. But Miutam Ba'arayis, Ma'arayis is Behester. You know, this Maisa that happened recently indicates to us a Meiridika Yisod, that today's Hester is a different kind of Hester than yesterday. Today the Hester is shaking. You know, it's like there's an earthquake underneath the Hester. And in many ways, when you speak about Ixus of the Meshicha, the notion that what you're doing behester could be begoli, but not begoli, to you, to me, to the town that he lives in. There's a guy in Outer Mongolia that's scratching his head, Vos Farat Sedreta mentions this guy Wiener. In Outer Mongolia, and I kid you not. So what's the pshat? The pshat is today we've reached a certain madrega of potential exposure, which if the person didn't have, you know, you need mishalim because it makes things more real to you. And some mishalim are better than others. Now you have this ayin roa for ozen shomas for chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nechtavi. If you know, there used to be a time that the marshal of Ayin Roa, but I don't see an Ayin Roa, you know. Then they had these hidden cameras. You know, cameras. You know, you look up at the ATM machine and you see there's a camera looking at you. I don't know if it's connected, but at least it's looking at you. And Bekitza, you begin to chapatzita, you know. And then they know where I was at that time and when I was at that time. It's already an Ayin Roa. Person uses an easy pass. I see that there's a huge line by the cash. Why is there a huge line by the cash? So I once asked somebody who always uses the cash. So I said to him, you're wasting such an inordinate amount of... I don't want the government to know where I am. That's neurosis. Anyhow, Bekitza, but what's the point? What's the point, Rabbi Sai? The point is that already gave you a sense that, wait a minute, it's Taka Ayin Roa. Today, a person has a cell phone. That's all. He has a phone. The phone is this big. What is it? And he's standing on the corner. And he's photographing me and my voice and what I say and what I do. And I haven't the slightest notion that he's doing it. 15 minutes later, depending upon how competent he is. But that's the outside number. 15 minutes later, the guy in Outer Mongolia says, you know, Rabbi Khan's beard is grayer than yesterday. I tell you the truth, I think about it on Mishkovi by Leilos Eschatmen Atzitta Mamish Boifin Neira. Because Vinisht V, you see, now it's the opposite. We know it, it's not even a marshal anymore. It's the reality of all realities. And Afal Pikay. So that's really scary. Because, like, all along we could excuse ourselves, you know, but we really don't, you know, we don't feel it, B'chush. Today, what do you mean you don't feel it, B'chush? I'm showing you. The guy in Outer Mongolia is real. And for Destved. So what's our excuse now? It's like an interesting thing. So that's the Teretz human nature. That somehow we always end up with that. You know, every year comes like to that block. We have to transcend ourselves. Why is it so difficult? But the Teretz is, that's the way we were made, and that's our struggle. Yeah.